at Psalm 139 today. You may be aware of what's going on culturally. A lot of things have taken place the last few weeks. There has been information leaked, I believe, on purpose about intentions of the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade, which was what legalized abortion in the United States of America back in 1973. And the battle lines are pretty much you either have the right to choose whether that life lives or whether it is a life at all, whether you allow it to live or you take it, or either you are pro-life. And even in that, the waters can get muddy sometimes to people. But the problem, listen, the complications are on our part, not God's word, not God's part. And I want today to try to inform you on some things. I want to inspire you, but inspiration really comes from the word of God, through the Spirit of God. And so I want to do that. I think I'd like to see some illumination where the lights might turn on to some people. I don't know if you realize it or not. There's some young people here that this world wants them to buy into the idea that abortion is okay. They want them to, if they get pregnant out of wedlock and there's the challenges of decisions to make, that them, the boy or the girl, and many times the boys are the sorry party who won't stick around and they leave it all on the girl to handle and her family come to her side. But it comes down to this, is that what do you believe concerning life? So the title of my message this morning, as we're in Psalm 139, I'm going to talk about the life equation. The word equation means the process of equating one thing with another. And you will never be able to separate life from God.
That's right.
Ever. In the beginning, God created. There is life in the very first verse of the Bible.
Right.
We're going to read in here in these verses. We'll pick up with verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. Yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with the beautiful, beautiful psalm.
Yes.
Young people are taught today the opposite of a lot of what this Bible teaches. Some of you in the countercultural battle, you're trying to raise your kids right. Their influence of spiritual things is what you give them at home and what you give them at church. And if you're not giving them anything at home and you don't go to church much, they're getting most of their influence from the world, from the schools, from the friends around them, TikTok videos, social media, things like that. And Roe versus Wade will become a 50-year anniversary next year. I promise you they will celebrate it, and if it gets overturned, they will riot and burn down everything they can to call out distraction for the right to take that life. Every alteration to the law, everything that's ever done when it first went in, when Miss Roe went in to challenge it, and when you find out that the Supreme Court allowed it, and those judges that were on there, listen, and anything they ever do in between, the real final authority is God. And his word teaches what life is, where life came from, when life is. I'm going to try to answer some of those questions today. We've heard the phrase, it's my body, my choice. But I want to bring out some things biblically and scientifically today. I'll try to do that the best I can. I'm not a scientist, nor a father of one, or a child of one. But my Father knows all. And what he wanted us to know, he put in this book. The rest of it he hid around in the mysteries of the world and allowed us to be able to dig and see some things. So I believe some things I want to pass along to you that I hope that you already believe, but if you don't, I hope it'll equip you to challenge you. This is a great passage of Scripture to go to if somebody challenges you, because it's becoming where a lot of people will get in your face and they'll get violent. They'll get very, very vigilant and very agitated when you tell them that you're going to pass the law to protect life. They say, no, you're infringing upon my right. So I want to look at, what is life? Life, defined in a regular dictionary, says the condition that distinguishes animals from plants, or animals and plants from inorganic matter. Inorganic matter might be that diamond on your ring, or a metal band around your ring, or the metal you got in your teeth, if you got any fillings or anything. Anything that's not alive. It cannot be alive, and there's no life ever could be instilled in it. The trees that these pews are made of, once those trees were living, but now they're in a state of decay. There's no life within them, but even though there might be something, you might see some signs of life. This world is seeking life everywhere else but where it is. They don't want to find it where it already is. They want to ignore that. I want to give you this to you. Some of you smart kids, y'all go to school. We got some smart people in the church. You probably got degrees, all kind of letters behind your name. So you may not learn anything today, but I hope that you will. Listen to this. This is life. It's conditioned to distinguish animals and plants from inorganic matter, including the capacity, the capability to use energy. When something can use energy, has the capacity to use energy, the scientific world says it's capable of life. It can grow and develop and respond to its environment. It can reproduce and pass the traits on to its offspring. Now, I'll look at the term zygote. Female egg, the sperm come together. Two different cells come together. And when they're done, they make another individual cell. Right. Amen?
Amen?
That baby is now its own being. And I believe in the mind of God, it's a being before even conception comes.
Yes,
I gotta move on quick. I say I'm bogging down here. I'm going to preach and re-preach. I don't want to do that to you. An embryo is an unborn offspring in the process of development. Begins at fertilization, lasts for about 8 weeks. But we in the pro-life community call it a tiny little baby. Not born yet. A fetus is an unborn offspring that develops from the embryo. From the 10th week all the way up to pregnancy until birth is called that fetal stage. And I say it's still a baby.
Amen.
Always has been a baby. Amen.
Amen.
At 6 weeks gestation, a little bit less than that in time as far as growth of the cellular division, there is heart and brain electricity signs already at work. You do know your heart has electrical impulses, but you're not plugged up to a battery unless you get a pacemaker. God already put all that stuff in you. All right, some scientists have described the fetus and the fetal stage as a parasite that avoids rejection of the mother's body. It exerts considerable influence over her metabolism. It actually diverts the blood and the nutrients. It kind of hijacks her system. Some people call a baby a parasite. If this is taught in our schools, it is no wonder that people think it's all right to abort a baby. Because that's what they've been taught. It's a parasite. You're hosting a parasite, like the Alien movie or something, right? You got something inside of you that doesn't belong in you, and they say that it ought to be removed or thrown away. Now, the right to fight, to remove the baby, to protest, the protection, the promotion of all those things, the right to choose and all that, and remove that parasite is where the battle lines are being drawn. The law passed, and it's been tweaked many different times, and now it's being threatened. And they're getting upset because they want to defend a right to take life. Now, there's some people who say, well, what about this? They're arguing the case of rape, an unwanted pregnancy. If the doctors tell you this baby's going to be born with many deformities, they still ignore the fact that it is a life, and taking it would be ending that life. That is complex if you want to make it complex, but it's simple if you just look at it like God. There have been many people that allowed those children to be born, Down syndrome, things. Many times the scientists were right. Health professionals were right. They were born with some problems. And many of those people that you've talked to, maybe you've never met any of them. I know many of them. They say that's one of the most precious gifts they've ever had in their life. Now, you would not choose your child to be born with any deformity, but if God allowed it, and you believe in faith that there is a creator God, and he's not only a God that created you, but he's a God that redeemed you, that you yield yourself to his will. But we also know that there are many in darkness that don't believe things spiritually like this. They argue they want the right to end that life. And the situation is they just don't view life in the manner that God does. Now, I mentioned to you a while ago, I'm kind of reading some definitions. But that little baby responds to its environment. By definition, it is alive. It's alive at many stages that they don't even want to admit. You know, there are some who want to abort a baby of the day before the delivery date. And that baby responds to the abortion and to the chemicals they use to try to kill it, or the mechanical things they use to try to kill it, and it responds. There have been so many pictures. I'm not going to get graphic. This might be a little PG version, but listen, parents need to guide their children anyway. You need to be involved in the education of your children. And if you think they needed you more when they were a baby, they need you more now as a teenager than they ever did. So please don't abandon them now. They need you as they grow into that stage. When is life? Does it begin at conception? You know, the zygote. And when I told you, it starts before conception. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. He already had formed his being, but he never put the breath of life into him yet. And until there was a reception of that life, he didn't have life. But life already existed in who God was. Jesus even said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is the giver of life, the creator. He gives it, sends it, designs it. You might have heard this. Somebody sometimes argues about their apologetic faith, what we'll call apologetics of the faith. They'll say there's intelligent design. Well, yeah, if you want to describe God as intelligent, I would say yes, I guess that's true. It's way more intelligent than anybody you've ever seen design anything. The microscopic world of life joins together. It creates life. A procreated process where life can come together to create life, and it continues to generate life until it's ended, which is death. Our life is made in conception, but God knows about us before we're conceived. Psalms 139:15. My substance. There's two words, substance, here. Both of them in the Hebrew are interesting words. The first one, he says, verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee. The body and the potential of all its strength and everything that was in me, he, or as a being, as a baby, or who he would be as a human being, it was his substance. And God knew what it was already. He says, my substance was not hid from thee. In that microscopic world, in the curious parts, as he says, the curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, you get no lower than subatomic. You get no lower than microscopic. That's pretty low. Yes, and God has allowed microscopes to see that world and telescopes to see the world beyond in outer space. He's allowed us a window. And that knowledge, even the word science means knowledge. And that knowledge is holding us accountable more to God than ever. And yet we have walked away from him more than any other generation.
Yeah, you're right, Pastor.
Substance. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. That other word for substance, I thought this was real interesting. It means goliam. It's the unformed mass, what we might call an embryo. The beginning stages of that. Doesn't look like a whole lot. Now, you know the head and all that. The head starts forming. You see the little pictures of little bitty babies. They just look like a bobblehead, don't they? It's all head. Well, you know the brain's the most important organ that God's going to start working on first. And the heart forms. There's electrical impulses of the brain. And the heart is not audible yet, but it is detectable as early as 7 weeks. Before it was fashioned in this continual process, this scripture talks about, there was nothing like a baby that you could see. Now we can see much more than they could see when this was written. But it was already there in God's eyes. And that ought to be our view as believers. Now, I wanted to bring this out. Two living cells. You got a female cell and a male cell called the egg and the sperm. The female and the male cell come together. They join together and a zygote is created. Don't know who Mr. Zygote might have named it. Some Latin. I don't know. I didn't get into all that. And when that cell is created, it is its own individual cell, and that the world, even the medical world will call this another created cell. At that instant moment, it contains one set of chromosomes from mama and one set of chromosomes from papa. Already got its own DNA.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, what is DNA? The medical world and science tells us that DNA is a genetic written code. Come with me to Psalms 139. You're already there. Verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. Sounds like DNA to me. We didn't even know what it was. I don't know that the psalmist David knew what it was. But his God did. They say one strand of DNA is so complex, it's trillions of pieces of code, that it's more complicated than any video game you could ever write. Just unbelievable code. And all that just went boom and happened. Nope, not buying it. It'd be like breaking a pocket watch up into 3,000 pieces, shaking it up down in a paper bag, and pouring it out of the pocket watch again. What's the odds of that happening? Now, you kids, I know you kids go to school. They'll teach you that the earth is billions and whatever years old. They'll teach you that there was a particle of dust in outer space. There was a complete void, and that dust gathered together with other dust, and then it exploded. But they can't even tell you where the dust come from. You'll read books and say that there was rain that rained on a rock that created an amniotic fluid, and that's where life spawned in the ocean. Where did the rock come from? Where did the rain come from? They can't tell you any of that. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation.
That's right, Pastor.
All right, let's move on quickly before I make some of y'all mad. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think y'all mad. This single cell begins to divide. I believe it is DNA, intelligent design. It begins to divide from the very first time it's a zygote. Hey, little baby zygote. Now, you know, if I had John Hagee stuff, I'd have a cool presentation today. So you have to use your imagination, as Popeye says, with me. Zygote begins to divide. It divides into two. Two goes to four, four to 16, 16 to 32, 32 to 64, 64 and 64 goes to 128, 128 to 256. I got to slow down, can't keep up, and it keeps going and going. 41 times in 9 months turns into 2 trillion cells of a baby. When you hold that little baby, you're holding a trillionaire. A little baby of 2 trillion cells. The Word of God, as David says it here, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. This is what God created. That's what that little baby begins to be and what it already is in the mind of God. He said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Verse 14, and that my soul knoweth right well. And I want to tell you, I want to declare this morning, my soul knoweth right well this is true.
Yes, sir.
It brings peace to me to know.
Yes, sir.
Now, it's easy, and the ladies, a lot of the women would say, well, you don't know what it's like. And many men, listen, men don't know what it's like to give birth. There are men who are changing themselves into women. They're trying to, there's mechanical inventions out there to try to make an artificial womb to install in men so they could have artificial insemination so they could give birth. This world is thinking of evil imaginations continually. But it will never be the life that God created it to be. They cloned a sheep named Dolly. Y'all remember that? When they cloned her. Her cells were the age of what she was when they cloned her. I don't know about you. I don't know about cloning me at 52 plus, almost 53 years old. And then here I come. I'm born. And next thing I know, my cells are old, but I look young. I'm going to be dead in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Dolly died at 6 when most sheep lived to 10 to 12 is what they say. The math is there. The equation's there. The sum of them is there. Size of a baby. I might be scattered, but I got to hurry. I'm going to try. 4 weeks old, a baby's the size of a little poppy seed. Little bitty black poppy seed on a roll. 4 weeks, that's how tiny it is. At 9 weeks, it's the size of a grape. And week 7 in between that, the heartbeat's detectable. Electric impulses from the brain and the heart are there. And at that time, DNA can be retracted and be tested and identified. But that's only by the scientists. It's already identified by God. Week 13 to 16, the heartbeat is audible by ultrasound. Fingers, toes are well defined. Eyelids, eyebrows, eyelashes, fingernails, and hair is formed. And even at that age, little babies have been known to suck their own thumb. Yawn, make faces and stretch, respond to their environment. 18 weeks, it's the size of a bell pepper, and some of you ladies are going, don't we know it? Here it comes. 36 weeks, honeydew-sized melon, and at a time 40 weeks plus, that thing could be the size of a pumpkin. Which I think that's why some grandparents call their little kids pumpkins and stuff. I think that's why. Even Shaquille O'Neal was 7 pounds, 11 ounces when he was born. 13 ounces, whoops, that makes a difference. 7 pounds, 13 ounces. Now he's 7'2", 325, I doubt that, pounds. And he wears a size 22 shoe. But at one time, he was the size of a poppy seed. Fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You just think, if he'd have been aborted, we'd have never had the shakaroni pizza. Now think about that. And many other things of life we would have not had. And think about how, now I believe this on my heart, and I'm just throwing this out here. I wonder who could have cured cancer that we have already aborted. Who could have cured Alzheimer's and heart disease that we already aborted? God said, I sent them to you and you killed them. So don't judge God when one day he may show. You, listen, there were generations and generations of scientists and great musicians. Beethoven was deaf and could compose. You can name all kind of different genres of things in this world of brilliant people, male and female. If they had never lived, what would this world have been like? What could it have been like if we had not aborted what now is almost 70 million babies, almost, in the United States alone? Where to find life? Well, I'm going to take a little side note here. I got to hurry. Do you know that this same crowd is ecstatic about finding life on Mars? We have spent billions and billions of dollars trying to find life on Mars. They're saying that eventually we're going to be self-destructing ourselves on Earth. And that we need to find another place to live. And they think Mars could be that place because it has signs that it used to have life. I want to go somewhere where I see signs of life now. They think we're going to terraform it or we'll condition it and live there. The temperature there, they say it used to be wet, it used to be this, but there's hope there. They're deeply interested. And their plans are by the time we get done, we may end up spending trillions of dollars. The Viking lander in the 1970s went out there and took pictures. The Pathfinder, Mars Pathfinder, little go-kart that happened in the 90s. I think one of the signals got lost. It got flipped up on its side and they couldn't get the go-kart back on its wheels. They're trying and trying and trying. I tell you, I believe God was laughing.
Yeah.
Come here, Gabriel. We ignore life where it already is. Nothing but Satan's deception that makes someone think that bacteria on Mars is more important than life in the womb. But that's where the battle line is. The goal is to search for life past, present, and future on Mars. They want to protect the human race, promote that human race, protect us from extinction. Some experts even challenge that. One scientist named David Jewitt, he's a planetary scientist from UCLA. He said, I question our focus on one planet only. I think we ought to look at Jupiter's moon and Saturn's moon. They have better potential to harbor life. He said, it's like a person who loses their car keys and is looking in the streetlight only for the answer. And I thought, that's what they're actually doing with life in the womb. But it's worse than that. They're looking for a streetlight on another planet. When the beginning stages of a baby happen right before their eyes and they're looking for bacteria, which is smaller than the zygote, are the cells of the male and the female. The bacteria is subatomic. It's smaller. And they're looking in the celestial world for bacteria when they have life right before their very eyes. But I believe it's because they're blinded in darkness because of the devil. And they'd rather fight for the right to take that life at 24 weeks when that little baby is fully developed, except for maybe the lungs not ready and things. And many of you work in the medical field. Some of you might have even been premature when you were born. And it's amazing. I know Preacher Gravely's little granddaughter, his son-in-law preached here for us about December. It was in Christmas time. When Cheyenne was born, she weighed less than a can of Coke. Was in the hospital for 3 months. Now she has one baby and another one on the way. The world said it was impossible, but God had plans. God has a plan for life. When people get excited about bacteria from a rock, they found a rock on Earth that they claim was from Mars. How they find that out, I don't know. I question that authority. I could go back out here and find a rock, Brother Donnie, and I could tell you it came from some other places too. I had enough dummies around me to believe it and say, yeah. And everybody start believing it. And they found bacteria in this rock, and they said, we believe it came from Mars. We believe there was bacteria on Mars. We found proof of life, and yet a baby can be kicking and moving, sucking its thumb. And they said, nope, not life yet, not viable yet. We have the right to take that life and abort it and end it. It's my body, my choice. That is crazy. It's insane. If you'll study that same rock story, there are many scientists who believe they disproved that rock didn't even come from Mars, that it was already here on Earth. Now, I know things fall out of the sky and meteorites and stuff. I know that's scientifically true, and that happened. But if a rock fell out of the sky and you go, I know it came from Mars, I don't know. That same group that wants there to be life on Mars and the little rock calls a baby in the womb a parasite. So I'm not going to get my influence, my theology, my moral compass values from that crowd.
That's right.
The Bible said, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. And on we go with these scriptures. The Lord made the heavens and the host of them by his mouth. All these scriptures tell us of things from subatomic to celestial out in outer space. And the Bible goes back, boils down to the same truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God put life on this planet, and he allowed life in the womb. And it's the hatred of God that clouds the judgment of man. The common sense of a scientist and a physician. And many of the ladies that buy into this, that have that abortion, they regret what they've done. Not even with a preacher trying to preach truth to them, but there's a moral thing within them. They struggle with that, and I can't even comprehend and imagine that. And I know God could forgive. I understand that. I know he can. But this world's placing a lot of baggage on people that they cannot afford to write the check to heal. The scripture is the final authority. As born-again believers, we should believe that scripture that way. Scientifically speaking, is my summary. I know y'all don't believe that. I think I left a couple pages out, but I'm not going back. From cell to cell, mama cell, daddy cell, creates baby cell. The little zygote is its own cell. Chromosomes come together, create its own baby DNA. It's already there, even by their assumption of technology. So scientifically speaking, every definition of life in its capacity is in that womb. Way earlier than they're trying to fight for the right to take it. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 15, that we are curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. We have the capacity, all these things the scientists say. It's written in God's book. God's book must have DNA and sin forgiveness and a lot of stuff written in his book. Spiritually speaking, the baby has the capacity because God created it to have that capacity. He knows us in our being before we ever even had consciousness at all. The Bible doesn't use this word, but when I went to Bible college, they taught me this word. Omniscience. And the word omni means all. It's a Greek word. And the word science is science. He's all-knowing. An omniscient, all-knowing God. David said, thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He covered you. Sees it all. Spiritually speaking, listen, be real carefully here. We don't have to reject science if it's aligned with the scriptures. Don't break your neck to force the scripture to fit science. Because that knowledge may not be truth. Science means knowledge, but if your knowledge is biased with a rejection towards God's word, it is flawed. Same also if your spiritual knowledge is biased and you reject science just because it's science. Some of you popping pills every morning, shooting insulin, all that based on science. So be careful how you criticize science in the whole general term. I don't know about you, but some of you experienced that going to the doctor and seeing that little baby with that ultrasound, and they rubbed it across mama's belly, and you could hear that heart beating and the blood flowing through there and life within that womb. That science and that spiritual understanding comes together. Yes. You just say, man, we're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes, sir.
What a beautiful creation that is. Jared is here, and I can only speak for him. As for certain, he's been in church ever since he was in his mama's womb. He'd been in church before he was the size of a poppy seed. Now, where he started hearing and listening and absorbing anything externally, internally, I do not know. But I've been in some services before. Joanna could tell you different times, home and church, where he was kicking and cutting the jig, boy, inside there. You see little elbows and knees coming in there. I don't know what he was doing. Well, they told us in an ultrasound one day that he was going to be a dwarf. He would be a midget. Now, he's not real tall, but he's mostly legs. I mean, most of him is legs. The ultrasound technician was trying to encourage us to understand that our little boy was going to be born deformed. You know where that was heading?
Yeah. Come on, Pastor.
Get an abortion.
That's right.
Take his life. Throw Jared away. Start over again. Well, I'm glad that God allowed me not to do that, allowed us not to do that, taught us, we were taught, we had a value biblically that influenced that, as many in this world have no value biblically, and that's why they were influenced to do what they did.
Yeah, right.
I'm not attacking them, but God can heal that wound and that forgive that sin and that thing that was done. But spiritually speaking, if I reject the science or I reject the scriptures, I'll never understand true truth and knowledge that God wants me to know, because God created all these things that you see. When I think of Psalm 139:14, he said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. It should move us to worship him and adore our Creator, not get further from him. This world hates God. The only begotten Son came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, to take our place. And the Bible uses this phrase, he came to give us life, that we might have it more abundantly. He is the author and finisher of my faith. And he is the holds the power of life from the time before time was created, and the whole time while time is in existence, and even after time is no more, God always is and always has been. Do I understand all that? No, but I believe it. Man, I don't even know half of what's in some of the stuff I eat. I don't understand all that, but I eat it anyway. I believe it. Let's trust it. More than life and what meets the eye, people. A spiritual life and an everlasting life. And this world is fighting for the right. Take that little baby. When it's just a size, little bitty size of a grape or a bell pepper, even not too many years ago, there was a certain term, abortion. Well, they could leave part of the baby in the womb, and it didn't have to, it could almost be ready to be born almost 9 months old. The head still in the womb. Partial term abortion. And it would be killed. And they would say, since part of it was still in the womb, it's not a baby. That's the mentality. That's murder. God says he hates those who shed innocent blood. Now, if that were to happen to you, you could get forgiveness of that. But for me to dictate around, step around and say there's nothing wrong with that and it should be right and it should be protected and our government should support it, that's where the battle lines are, church. I do not say go burn down an abortion clinic. That's not how God fights his spiritual battles. But we need to stand for truth and righteousness. Because my substance was hid a long time ago, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Nancy and Jerry brought their selves to the table. Amen. And little baby zygote Brian. They almost named me Sandy. Thought I was going to be a girl. Named me after Brian Keith, who most of y'all don't even know. Some of y'all don't even know who he is. And they, all that while there, God had a plan that on May the 15th, 1989, I'd get saved by the grace of God. And then 2022, I'd be preaching about how I'm glad my mama didn't abort me. And she left me in the hands of God. She valued life. Sister Tonda, I want you to come. I know it's a little longer. I didn't get the ball till about 20 till, so that'll be fair. I want Sister Tonda to come play. They protested in downtown Greenville and many other cities yesterday for the right to take life at any stage or any circumstance. Just depends on what your point of view is. The church, listen, if there was no God at all, and there was no scripture to go by at all, all there was just a little bit of morality within you, you'd still have to say there's something wrong with taking that life. I could understand without God, without scripture to guide you, why you would say, well, my daughter got raped and that baby came. We don't want nothing to do with that. We want to end it. I could understand the dilemma there. If you had no scripture and no content at all of what life truly is to God, then you might make a different decision. But we do have that knowledge. We have that science of the scriptures to know where life begins and how God views it. And David said it was all, everything about his members, every part, every little finger, every little eyelash, everything about him was already written in God's book. Every chromosome, every part of the code of DNA is there to me at the very beginning. We need to, at the very least, church, pray for the soul of our nation. We have politicians right now who are encouraging people to go to the judges' houses to attack them, to threaten them, anything possible to stop this law, this Roe versus Wade being overturned. That's battle. Now, I'm not saying we battle the same way. We don't battle with flesh and blood. The Bible teaches that. We are battling principalities, demonic powers, seats of Satan across this world. And he's sitting on a mighty cushiony throne in the United States of America. You can't find baby formula. Yet Bill Gates now all of a sudden has his own company that has baby formula. I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm a scratch my header sometimes. And then they say that if you got vaccinated, don't breastfeed. Could be bad for the baby. And there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in this world. What do you do? Well, you look to the truth that'll make you free. Get your mind on God. Ask God to give you some common sense, to give you some wisdom. And be on the side of life when this world is fighting for death. Pray for your children. Some of you might not dare even think about having an abortion or ever thinking in this mentality. But right next to you on your pew is a young child growing up that this world's trying to conform it to their image. And one day you may lock heads where you believe the Bible, but they believe the science book. Train them in the way they should go. When they get older, by God's promise, they'll not depart. It doesn't mean they're going to be perfect in every step, but they'll never forget it in their consciousness. They'll know what truth and right is. Pray for those children. Pray for these young kids. God would protect them and help them to do things biblically right in the sexual realm of things. They'll have the value of God concerning what life is. They'll value these scriptures and apply them to their life and be willing to stand firm on that scriptural ground when the whole world stands against them. I tell you, young people, I got your back. I may go to jail. If one of your teachers acts a fool, you call me. I'll say, let's go, Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, Dr. Ballostopper. Let's go to lunch. I'll go to county council meetings or whatever needs to be due. But listen, it's almost like talking to a brick wall with some of these people. I might not persuade the whole world, but I will try to persuade you as you sit under the authority of the Word of God as I try to pastor you. And I hope if you're not convinced, you'll take a second look again and see if you can see what God says about life. Come to that knowledge versus what this world's saying about it. Father, we pray that you'll help our people. Lord, our people and our parents here and our grandparents would pray and intercede for their children. Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of our young people here, Lord, that they would value things according to scriptural value. They would value life. Lord, we're not ignorant of science. No. We believe a whole different point of view than the scientific world believes. God, I pray that you help us to value that life of these millions of babies that have been killed. Lord, we cannot pray, God bless America. We can only say, God have mercy on America. God, I pray that you would send some type of revival and change. If you overturn this and allow it, we know there's probably going to be a lot of violence coming in our land. This world is so deeply rooted wicked in so many places. Help us, God, to stand on the authority of your word. Help us to be agents of light. Help us to promote these scriptures. Teach them to one another. Believe them. Follow them. And I want to say with David, Lord, I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that I knoweth right well. Thank you, God, for giving life. And that more abundantly. To us that are saved, we have eternal life. We thank you, God, for teaching us that you are the life. In Jesus' name we pray.